Hello, hello world. It's the Colombian Catwoman here, Jeanette, and we have another episode of Black Expat in Spain on the show rather today. We've got Georgie in the house. Hello, Georgie, welcome to the show. Hello, hello. So, Georgie, can you give a little introduction, please, to who you are, generally where you are in Spain, and talk as much or as little about what it is that you do for a living here in Spain. So over to you, please.
Almost 39-year-old Jamaican living in Spain, but I moved to the UK before I moved to Jamaica. So I've got 17 years in Jamaica, 16 years in the UK, and now I've been in Spain for about 5 years, I think.
Wow.
I'm doing the thing that most English speakers do in Spain, teach English. So I work as a language assistant in a secondary school, and I also have to do the whole side hustle thing because teaching English alone doesn't pay the bills, especially during the summer when you don't get paid. So yeah, I teach English pretty much.
Okay. And so Jamaica, the UK, why Spain? Was that a natural progression for you?
I moved to the UK when I was 17 because my mom had moved a year before. And then the plan was for me and my little sister to join her. And I just never quite felt like I fit. I don't know, something, this is gonna sound so corny. It just didn't quite sit right in my spirit. Something in my soul wasn't happy about being in the UK. I made great friends, made really, really great friends in the UK. My mom still lives there, but just something wasn't right. And I decided I couldn't live out the rest of my days in the UK and I'm going to move. So I went to university at 27 because I hadn't been up to that point, because I figured starting over in a new country would be easier with a degree than without one. So went to uni, got my degree, and then decided I was going to move to a Spanish speaking country. That was the prerequisite, Spanish speaking, because I like Spanish and I wanted to learn more of the language. I drew up a short list, and I think the top three contenders were Chile, Spain, and I want to say Panama possibly, but I had gone through Google and written off a whole bunch of countries for a whole bunch of reasons. Mexico got taken off, Argentina got taken off, cost there were countries, then it got taken off. I landed on Spain, came here for a job fair in the May of whichever year, I can't remember, and then fell in love on that 2 day trip, and I was like, yep, this is happening. Then packed my bags and came back in the July of that year.
So Spain was for you basically fell in love with the place and moved in like a year later. And what was your introduction to life in Spain like? How did you find somewhere to live? How did you navigate the systems? How was that experience for you?
So this is my second stint in Spain. I was in Spain 2015 to 2017, then came back in 2019 because I was like, Brexit's coming, so let me come back real quick. The first time I came, I booked into a hotel for 4 nights, thinking I'll have four nights to try and find somewhere to live. I was lucky, found an apartment or a room in an apartment near the hotel I was staying at. It was lovely, it was fine, great stuff. However, since then, I found out the hard way that finding somewhere to live in Madrid is usually quite difficult. There's a particular time of year that we like to call the Peace of Hunger Games. So September to October, when all the language assistants are turning up, the Peace of Hunger Games. So I was lucky the first time, and then I've had other times where I wasn't so lucky trying to find somewhere to live. But I'm a very pragmatic person, so it was literally just a case of, okay, I need somewhere to live. I need a SIM card for my phone. I need to find where the supermarket is. I need to find out where my gym is. So I literally just had a list of things that I needed to do and I just got them done with the help of Google.
Do you have the language skills at the time to navigate those systems of it's done? Was it a relatively easy process for you because you are pragmatic?
From the language perspective, excuse me, from the language perspective, I would say I had basic Spanish skills the first time round, but I somehow managed to get things done. And in terms of being pragmatic, I think I'm just very much, I'm here, I want to go here, okay, just do it. So whereas all my friends are like, oh my God, I couldn't do this. Oh my God, you're so brave. And I'm like, but I just wanted to go from there to there. Like, what's the big deal?
There's no
So,
other option yet. It's press go and go.
yeah. So language skills first time round weren't great, but I got it done. And they've obviously improved since then. So it helps, really helps.
So where are you now with kind of the assimilation? Is that something that you wanted to do, assimilate into the culture and language? Have you kind of become fully conversant? And are you kind of, do you feel that you've assimilated into the culture? Do you want to?
We haven't assimilated, and that's mostly my own fault because although my language skills have improved, and my friends will chase me to the ends of the earth to tell me that I'm fluent, believe me, I am not.
Okay.
But because my language skills are better than theirs, and the accent sounds good when I speak, they're like, yeah, you're fluent.
No, I'm not really. I'm not.
Even though my language skills have improved, I haven't assimilated fully because unfortunately, when I want to relax, I can't concentrate on Spanish. So for me to socialize with native Spanish speakers, that's going to require speaking in Spanish. I don't want to go out and socialize and have to concentrate on Spanish. I want to turn my brain off, which kind of means that I end up sticking with my English-speaking friends. So the whole assimilation thing hasn't really happened. I do have some friends that are from Spain, but in terms of being completely 100% in it, it
No.
hasn't. That's on me.
You want that to change, or are you happy with the way that things are?
If I had a social life right now, then I'd probably say yes, it would be nice to be more a part of the local fabric, so to speak. But there is no social life happening right now because a girl's just trying to get the bills paid. So if I was going out and seeing people and talking to people, then yeah, I'd say I'd want to have more Spanish speaking friends on deck.
Okay, a couple of questions. So I'm going to ask you a question. Can you answer this as you see fit? Maybe like go there, Jeanette, or whatever. Do you live on your own or do you live in shared accommodation?
So right now I'm living by myself. I have done the shared accommodation thing because when you first get here, it's the easiest thing to just find a room somewhere just to get settled. And then, but then I got to a point where I was like, my 37-year-old self can no longer cope with people and
No.
their. So I'll be 39 in a couple of weeks, but I moved into this apartment a year and a half ago.
Okay.
So I got to a point where I was like, I can't deal with people and their stupidness. Like, I'm too old for this.
I hear
So I moved into this one bedroom apartment, very nice apartment. My landlady's lovely. The building's really nice. The neighborhood is really nice. So to find all of those things in one place,
very
it's not easy.
fortunate.
Yeah, because people are usually complaining that their landlord is a problem or the building isn't
Yourself.
very nice. So this costs a pretty penny, but it's worth it for peace of mind to come home and not have to deal with anybody's stupidness.
And so, kind of, then I want to continue on that line. It's worth a pretty penny. Do you feel that you spend more than half of your income on your accommodation, or are you comfortable? You know, because most people in Madrid, doing what you're doing as a learning as an assistant, aren't able to live on their own. So, how do you manage that situation?
Hence the lack of a social life.
It's hustle, hustle, hustle.
Literally is all a case of the rent needs to get paid, the bills need to get paid, there ain't nothing left. But because I'm such a homebody, I do kind of feel like I'd much rather pay to live somewhere nice and have nobody bothering me and nobody in my space because I spend a lot of time at home anyway.
So it
But
works out well for you.
to a point, because it is at the point now, like I said, where it is a struggle. Financially now it is a struggle, especially coming off the back end of summer where you weren't earning as much in the summer. So now you're trying to play catch up. It's
Well,
that's
I
one of
was watching the news today, and they were talking about like just the cost of living, how it's gone up so much. And they were talking about basically if I'm making a Spanish omelette, which is potatoes, eggs, oil, and that's it. And making a cake, and they were saying how basically Spanish people won't be able to make a Spanish omelette soon because eggs have gone up, the basic ingredient oil has gone up, everything's so expensive at the moment. So things are, tight across the board for the average person.
So what I've come to realize recently is for, and I had this conversation with another Jamaican friend of mine that's been living here for 11 years. She was married to a Spaniard. Spain is great if you come here with money.
Or you've
Spain,
got support.
that part. Spain is great if you come here with money or you're not trying to build a life by yourself. I'm trying to build a life by myself. I have no family here and I have no boyfriend slash husband slash significant other. So everything falls on me. It's hard. It is hard.
I hear you. I hear you. Talking about partners, potential partners. So I read your podcast, your blog rather, not your podcast. What's your blog called?
You know what? I didn't even, it's not even supposed to be like a proper legit blog that I do on a regular basis. I just really wanted to say these things. I think it's called In My Head,
Okay.
I legit just did those two posts like 2.5 months ago, and I've done nothing else since. I probably should.
Doesn't matter. You started the journey, you started the
It's
discussion,
called
because
In
in
My
there
Head.
you talked about your list of wants and needs in a potential partner, a male partner, and your experience in Madrid, the capital city. So I don't know if you'd like to talk about what that's been like, what you were looking for and what you're now looking for.
Oh, I feel like this bottle of water should be a bottle of rum right now. Okay. When I lived in the UK, it was a case of I like a man who has a decent job. I mean, he doesn't have to be a high-flying lawyer or a neurosurgeon, but a decent enough job, well-educated, because I consider myself to be fairly intelligent. So you need to be able to hold a conversation with me. Decent job, well-educated. Over 6 foot because I'm 5'10". One of these 4'2" girls who insist on having all the giants. I actually do need a giant because I'm 5'10". So,
We are the judge. I'm 5'8", so we are the judges.
and all these little people keep running around taking all the tall men, but I'm not bitter. So, decent job, well educated, over 6 foot, preferably has his own place, but not necessarily a must. Okay. And then all the other things like, family oriented and he works hard, he treats me well, all that good stuff. Moved to Madrid, quickly found out.
The list,
Burn it. So my list now is must not be illegal, must have body odor. That's literally it. Girl, it's
Okay,
out
okay.
there.
Close.
Man, listen. I laugh, but it's rough out here. The job thing, jobs are very hard to get in Spain. I think Spain has the second highest unemployment rate for young
Europe.
people, yeah, in Europe. So jobs are really, really hard to get here, which is part of why I'm stuck teaching English and struggling financially. So jobs are hard to get even for the local white Spanish people, even worse for the Black Africans that have come here. And I mean no disrespect saying that, but it is what it is. So if jobs are hard to get, then they're not going to have a job probably. That's if
So
they've got the papers to get one. So I literally had to go from well educated, has his own job, has a nice place or whatever, to you must not be
no
illegal.
body odor.
This is a thing. It's a thing. The last date I went on, dude, and this was in March when it's cold outside. If you smell when it's cold, what you gonna smell like when it's no, Nope.
So I don't date guys. I'm looking for a woman, and shit's real, shit's hard out there. And I live on the island of Gran Canaria, the supposed gay capital for white gay men, which is fabulous, but that's a whole other story in itself.
Yeah. Now, because I just it's too hard. Like, just I don't think I'm asking for much, but like it's just I'm on a break. It's just easier to.
So do you see yourself living here long term? If things are a struggle, romance isn't happening at the moment, who knows what tomorrow brings? But yeah, what do you see for yourself kind of mid to long term?
Gotten to the point now where I have had to just say, you know what? I don't think Spain is it for me. I adore this place. And again, with the cheesy, corny stuff, Spain makes my soul happy in a way that England didn't. So it's like Spain makes my soul happy, but there's money to be made in England. I'd quite like to have both of those in the same place. But I'm at the point now where I'm like, if I have to choose, I'm going to choose the money because what's the point of being in Spain if I legit do nothing apart from go to work to pay the bills? I don't get to enjoy Spain.
Yeah. What would you do if you went back to the UK? What, I don't know if it would be something that you studied or something like another field. What would you do?
Thought that far ahead yet. I've just like within the past month or two started to think I might just have to give up on Spain because it's too hard. Because like you said, financially, it's a struggle. Romantically, let's not even go there. The dating pool is a puddle. So if I can't find a job, bruh. And then even the one nice guy that I met, oh my God, he was a really, really nice guy. Tall black guy from Senegal. And he was so nice that I said to my friend, he's too nice. Like, I ain't never met a man this nice. Are they supposed to be this nice? I'm waiting for something to happen. Because you know, when you're just used to, I don't want to say bad words on your podcast, but when you're
Yes,
just used to, us Jamaicans would say, when you're just used to Dutty Drunkro, and then you meet this nice guy and you're like, I don't know. He had a whole fiance in Senegal the whole time.
there you go.
So, can't find a job, can't find a man. Not that I'm looking anymore. I'm at the point now where I'm like, why am I fighting to make this work if it's clearly not working?
Would you move to another part of Spain, more rural? Because I don't know if you're able to do what you're doing in another part of Spain. Does it have to be Madrid or the UK for you? Are there any other options?
Since coming back to Spain this time around, that I need to be around black people. So
Why?
when I lived in the UK, I lived in a predominantly white area. And like I said, I made great friends. I'm still very good friends with some of these people who are of the Caucasian variety. But I think the neighborhood I lived in played a big part in why the UK never quite just sit right for me. Been living in, I don't know, Brixton, well, maybe not in Brixton or Tottenham, but like in places where there was more diversity and I had more access to people who look like me and more access to some aspect of my own culture, I think I would have probably enjoyed England more. So when I
That's
moved,
for you, that's the culture or community rather is really important for you.
yeah. So if I was to leave Madrid and go to the back end of nowhere in Spain, no, because at least in Madrid, I see people who look like me, maybe not every single place I go to, but I see people who look like me. I can make friends with people who look like me. I can get food that tastes good if you go to a Dominican spot because Spanish food ain't it. If I move to the back end of nowhere, I won't see anybody who looks like me and I won't get access to decent food. That's just two of the tiniest things I can think of, but I don't think a small Spanish village is going to work for me.
Or a different city, for example, I don't know, Malaga, Seville, Barcelona, Valencia, Tenerife,
I think I'm just at the point now where I'm like, if I move again, I'm just gonna go back to England because it's easier. Because if I pack up and move to Valencia, Malaga, wherever, and then end up facing similar problems, I'm gonna have to pack up and move again. And I'm tired. I am tired. So it's either make it work here where I am now, or just go back to the UK. That's kind of where I'm at these days.
What would you say to black expats we're from the UK, black expats that are thinking about relocating to Spain, what would you tell them?
So I can't touch on any of the visa stuff because obviously I'm a pre-Brexit transplant, but I would say if you come to Spain and you come here with the same thought I had of I'll teach English for a year or two while I look for a job, it is going to be a struggle. and I'm not the only one saying this, practically anybody you speak to in Spain who is not native to Spain will tell you the job market here is rough.
And you're
So,
in the capital. You're in the capital.
thank you. So, if somebody is going to be moving here, I would say either make sure you're very, very, very financially stable, or if you can come here with a remote job in place, that would be ideal because living in Spain, earning British money, you're good. Or American money, you're good. But living in Spain, earning Spanish money.
Yeah, it feels like we're still in potatoes.
Yes, I'd say definitely they need to bear in mind that the job market here is rough. I'm not going to tell anyone not to come. Everyone needs to try the path. It clearly didn't work for me, but it has worked for some people.
But at
So,
the time that you've been here, would you say, I know 80% of the time you've really enjoyed it, or it's been like so? What would you say, stint, this most recent stint, 2019 to today? What would you say?
I would say it's been like a 70, 30, 70% enjoyed it and not been a big problem. 30% of it's been a struggle. And I think if I was to move back into shared accommodation, things would be easier financially for sure, no doubt. But I, for my own mental health, not an option really.
I hear you. I hear you. When you reach a certain age, the whole shared bathroom, shared this, that, the other.
And I would also say to any Black expats considering moving to Spain, they will face some form of racism. Maybe not the American flavor, but there is racism in Spain.
Would you say that that's, have you had a chance to travel around the country, as the wider country,
Only to a few places, not many. I've been to Ronda, Cordoba, Seville, Segovia, Toledo, Valencia, that's it.
And what were the experiences like when you went to those places?
I personally, when I was there, didn't have a problem, possibly because I was seen as a tourist. Usually, when you're seen as a tourist, I feel like you don't get treated the same way as if you live there and this is home kind of thing. So, when I was in these places as a tourist, I personally had no problems. But then I do have to remind myself that my light skin self,
Privilege.
thank you. So am I a Black woman? Yes, I am. Do I get treated the same way as my very dark skin friends? No, I do not. Because some of the Spanish people look at me and think I'm Dominican. They don't see a Black person, they see a Dominican. Because clearly Dominicans can't be Black, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
So I am aware that I am privileged because I'm a lighter complexion.
The language as well. So speaking English and the passport that we hold as well opens a lot of doors, and the treatment's very different. A couple of things that I read on your podcast were, and you've touched on it, food and clothing. What would you like to say about those two topics?
Know what I would do right now for some good fried chicken from a chicken shop? Oh, favorite.
Still ongoing the search for good fried chicken.
Favorite chicken in the UK is my spot. The food here. Spanish food ain't it. I will die on this hill. Spanish food is not it.
As you said in your podcast, some people would kill. That's a fighting talk.
Listen, I said this today in one of my classes at school. I was with the 10th graders. This boy almost had a whole heart attack. And he starts listing out foods that he can't believe that I don't like. I'm like, no. So generally speaking, I feel like the food isn't very well seasoned. And you know we need our seasoning. The food isn't very well seasoned and they eat some really strange things.
For
Now,
example,
who the hell eats octopus?
need some squid. Oh, I love me some squid in all the different forms, in all the different ways. The pulpo and calamari. Yep, I'm down.
I think my problem with this is I've seen calamari on a plate before, the little rings of calamari,
The fried calamari, but it's all the
but
different
you go to the
ways.
supermarket and they have actual octopus with the arms sitting in the fridge, and I'm like, bruh. And then they eat the ears of pigs, and I think they eat cheeks of Just
But
the
in
food.
Jamaica, there are lots of dishes as pig foot, pig tail. I mean,
That's a valid point.
it's
Valid point. That is a very okay. Strange things aside, because they're strange to Georgie, the food just doesn't have much flavor from my perspective.
Agree
And
with you.
in terms of clothing, I'm 5'10". I'm also a plus size female. And to top it all off, triple threat, I got some big ass feet.
Same
So
here.
I struggle to find clothes here. And people are like, oh, if you need plus size clothes, you can go to Primark. Primark stops at a UK size 18. I'm a
Yeah.
UK size 22/24. So stop telling about Primark.
Have you
Sorry.
found any other places that cater?
Kiabi.
Kebab is okay. They're a bit actually this touch from no, this touch not from Kebab, this touch from the UK from Sainsbury's.
Kiabi's okay.
Ralph's.
So there's Kiabi and there's CNA. CNA, their styles are just horrible. They practically have
Something.
no style. And then Kiabi is better from a style perspective. Obviously, this is all subjective. This is my opinion. Kiabi, I think, is better from a style perspective, and they're easy on the wallet too. However, my 5'10" self now has cold ankles because I bought a couple of pairs of jeans to start back at school in September. They don't cover my ankles. I can't find jeans long enough.
Do you know of anywhere else? Because I might give you a few suggestions here, but I want you to kind of say what you found or might be that works for you. So.
You know of CNA, Kiabi, H&M has a plus size section, but they've now gotten rid of it off the high street because they had there's two,
Online.
yeah, two via the main shopping area. They got rid of the plus size section. Y'all don't want me walking around naked, so stop getting rid of the fat clothes. So those are the only three that I know of in terms of shopping. Apart from that, I got no clue.
Okay, so just to kind of give you a few more, here on the island of Gran Canaria, there's also El Corte Inglés, which you would have there. So they've got a plus size section, they've got their
Okay.
own plus size section, but they've also got Shell, which I think is like an El Corte Inglés brand, and that's like the trendier side. Not always cheap, but good to find things in sale when they're on sale. And Black Friday's coming up soon, so you might find some things there, so keep an eye out. I also order things from Next in the UK because they do deliver to Spain and delivery is free over £40.
Customs charges now because of Brexit.
That again.
Are you not facing any customs charges now because of Brexit?
So when it comes to ordering from the UK, you've got to keep that thing under 150. It's either under 150 or under 100. So if you order like over £40, I would say between 40 and 100, more than likely you're going to be safe. I haven't had to pay customs charges on items that I've ordered. But from the UK, and I live in Gran Canaria, so it's a whole other story, customs and all the rest of it, taxes. But Next, you deliver, and if it's over £40, there is no charge. ASOS also delivers. I'm not a big fan of their clothes, they don't really fit well for me, but ASOS does deliver as well. I have ordered from New Look, and they delivered to me here in Gran Canaria. So a lot of the UK brands, they deliver to Spain, but a lot like in the Canaries, a lot of the Spanish brands, because there are Spanish plus size brands. I can send you some afterwards if you want, but a lot of them don't fuck with the Canaries. The Canaries is like a special entity for tax purposes.
Yeah, because my sister's boyfriend, sorry, fiance now, lost his phone in the Canary Islands, and a very lovely taxi driver was going to send it to me. It turned into a whole thing with the postman turning up at my house talking about you need to pay £27, €27. I was like, I've already paid for delivery. Yeah, but you still need to pay it because the Canaries are special. Yo, Spain is stressful.
The Canaries is special on a number of different levels. Yeah, so Next, and you have to go to the ES website, and so everything's not available from there. And the sales stock, they don't fuck with us when it comes to the sales stock. But at least you can buy, a pair of trousers, a t-shirt. They're basic t-shirts for like £7. You can buy them for €7, €6. And you can't find the quality in Spain, is what I find. So the Kiabi stuff, I've bought some of their things, but I don't like their quality. And I'm a bit of a stickler for quality.
Size 10. What do you do about shoes? I'm a UK size 10 in shoes.
Where did I don't know if I've bought shoes here recently. I bought some boots from the Skechers. I bought some like slipper sliders from there. Not for a size, I think 8, but they come up big. Sandals that I've online Amazon. Bought some sandals from Amazon recently. And they were on sale, and that was a like a good brand. Fink is the brand. I think it's a German brand, and I actually bought them for like 25 euros, and it's a good brand. They're a bit clumpy on my feet, but Amazon delivers to Spain, but not everywhere delivers to the Canaries, but Amazon. You're cutting. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Can you still hear me now?
Yeah.
I was just going to order from Old Faithful in the UK. I usually get my shoes from Evans because they go up to a size 10 wide width. And I usually get my jeans from stores because they do long length in a plus size. A lot of places that do plus don't do long length, like fat people can't be tall.
Or
So
short or small or yeah, it's
I'm just going to order them to my mom's house because they're coming from different shops and have her put them in one box and send them to me. But I was worried about customs charges because of Brexit. But now you've said what you've said, I might get that.
keep it under for the first time. I would suggest that you keep it under 100, so you like 60, 70, 80 pound, that kind of mark, but over 40 for the free delivery. Next, yeah, I will tell you a little story, actually, an anecdotal story. Last time I ordered from Next, because the Canaries is special, the
Sure.
parcel took ages to arrive, and it didn't arrive, and so I complained and I complained, and they ended up refunding me. So I actually got the goods for free the last time. It's not my intention. I paid for them, blah 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 blah. They refunded the money, but it was there on their, side. But they're quite good because it's a British company that you're dealing with. So, if you raise a complaint, then the complaint's escalated. If it's not dealt with by a certain time, it's not the Spanish system of dealing with things. El Corte Inglés has been a place that I've bought a few things from. Yeah, CNA. Pajamas. I bought some lovely pajamas from CNA recently. Really lovely. Yeah, and so we have a shop here called Matter. They sell big size shoes and clothing. The clothing's expensive and a bit dowdy. So that again, the line's breaking up. The connection's breaking up.
When you say big size, are you talking because some people think a UK size 8 is a large size for shoes, whereas I'm a size 10,
Size
so
10 is what I'm talking about. Not
okay.
every style that they carry goes up to a 10 in Matter, but they do go up to a size 10. I can send you the link actually. I only know that it's a store here on the island. And there's also a shop on the island of Tenerife that sells clothes as well. Maybe not quality clothes, but they do sell modern clothes and reasonably priced. And they do have shoes that go up to a 10 as well. So I can send you those links afterwards. Sin Complementos, that shop's called, and they've got a Facebook page and they do lots of lives. Those are a couple of places, but ASOS is also a place that's pretty good. When I ordered from New Look, that was okay. Yeah, my dressing gown and other things came from New Look. The first time that you order, you get a bit of a discount as well at these places, so it works out. And if it's like sale time now, I think on New Look, on other certain companies, you can get sales, but Next doesn't fuck with us with the sale stock. Yeah, I'm trying to think. So, one of the things I'd like to ask you is, can you tell us what one negative thing is about living in Spain for you, and two positives about living in Spain for you?
Already talked about the lack of men and the lack of good food, so I won't say that again, but I'd say one negative for me, or something I struggle with, is the lack of customer service anywhere and the ridiculously unnecessarily difficult bureaucracy. I'm sorry, that's two things, but and then now two positive things. Spain is very rich in culture and history, which is something I think I was missing in the UK. Spain is full of life. Like, you will go outside in the evenings and there will be random little old ladies sitting out on benches, and then the neighborhood kids running around playing and Just Spain is just full of life. These people know how to live life and celebrate life. So I like that Spain is rich in culture, rich in history, and people know how to celebrate life here and actually just enjoy life. And then the other positive, I would say, I don't know, because I feel like that one kind of covers most of the things that I love about Spain. There is so much to see here. There are all these little nooks and crannies to discover, whether it's within Madrid itself, or if you want to go off and explore the rest of Spain, you'll find these random cute little villages, random gorgeous little. Just there's so much to see and do here. You cannot be bored if you're living in Spain. There's just too much to see and too much to do, if you've got the money.
So I'm about to ask you, do you think that you haven't done as much exploring as you would have liked to have done because of your situation, your financial situation? Is that kind of that question?
I definitely haven't done as much as I would have liked to have done. Like, I think earlier this year, a friend of mine, the one that sent me your previous podcast,
Yay! Thank you, friend.
wanted to go to San Sebastian for a weekend during the Easter. And I've always wanted to go to San Sebastian up north. Couldn't do it. So I definitely have not done as much traveling as I would have liked to have done. I
There are
think
so
if
many people that I've spoken to in Spain that have become so much poorer than they were before. Like, I remember a guy coming around to my house here, a white guy, and he said when he used to live in the UK, he used to go on holiday twice a year to the Caribbean, and he used to have like so many cars. Now he's driving, like he swapped here. He was forced to swap a car for a van because it was like easier than buying another one or something like that. And not being able to go on holiday, but having somewhere that your friends can visit was like the payoff, the trade-off for him. I don't know whether he's still on the island, but that was like a white trades guy. I remember him saying that, he basically your income just reduces when you live on the island or when you live in the country, and the options are limited then as a result.
see, I used to think it was just me making bad decisions, which is why I'm in the position that I'm in. But I've realized that a lot of other people I know are also finding it difficult to varying levels, obviously. But Spain has definitely made me financially worse off than when I lived in the UK. And it just keeps getting worse, keeps
Okay.
snowballing. But yeah, I think if I was to win El Gordo, not that I play, but
So you're not going to buy your £25, €25 ticket.
I'm standing in a queue for 12 days. If I was to have a whole bunch of money, I would love to rent a car and drive from the north of Spain all the way around the coast, like just take a 2 week road trip or something and just keep stopping off random places because there's so much to experience in this country.
I'm going to
But
tell you an anecdotal story. I did something similar to that. It was out of necessity. So years ago, when the ash cloud erupted, and do you remember the Icelandic ash cloud that erupted? I was on holiday in Seville, and very rarely do I go on holiday and feel like I don't like a place, but Seville was one of those experiences. I was living in the UK at the time. I was on holiday and I was like so looking forward to going home. I've only got 3 more days left, is what my situation was. I've only got, and then the day that I was due to leave Seville, ash cloud erupted, flights were cancelled. I was stood at the bus stop with these other people that were traveling as well. And so we basically befriended each other and we formed a little group and we traveled from Seville up to San Sebastian. We crossed the border in the hire car, or we had to hire another car. We stayed in that hotel or hostel, crossed the border. And then I think we drove up to the north of France. We drove up to the north of France, and all the ferries were booked because everyone was doing the same thing to get back home. It was like school holiday period. Teachers, in the industry, everyone was trying to get back, and everything was like overloaded. And then we eventually managed to get. We at one point we hiked. We didn't hike. We at one point we hitchhiked. Somebody gave us like a lift on their tractor part of the journey. We stayed in a hostel at part of the journey. We hired a car part of the journey, hired a van apart. But like, yes, it was the reverse trip, get back to the UK. And I owed my mum a whole lot of money because she helped me out to get back to the UK. Say that again, the line's breaking up.
two. She's not counting, ma'am. You just said about making friends with these random people. And then that's another thing that I've noticed that happens here. I would never. So sometimes in the Facebook group, people post saying, I'm new here. I don't know anybody. I'd like to make some friends. Anybody want to grab a coffee? And then some random person will go, I'll meet you for a coffee. Or so like when I first came back in 2019, this girl had posted in the group, this black British girl posted in the group the same thing, don't know anybody, want to make some friends. And then I responded saying, I'm going for Dominican food with this chick if you want to come. And then it turned into a whole flipping thing of, oh, Dominican food, Dominican food. And that's how I met one of my really, really good friends because she jumped on that post. If I was in the UK, I would not be meeting any random strange people off the internet to go anywhere.
Circle small, yep. And you
Yeah,
wouldn't have
here.
the opportunities either. You wouldn't be looking for them either.
No, but I think even, I don't know, it's just being in a foreign country and meeting other people in the same boat as you, you're more open, I think, to doing things that you probably wouldn't do at home. I know it's only going for lunch, but I'm the kind of person who normally would not want to do these things. I would not want to speak to a stranger. I'm like, I don't know you, go away, leave me alone. I'm an introvert.
But I'm in Spain now, so it's okay, and we can talk.
But literally, it's just like you're in a foreign place, you don't know anybody, and other people are in the same boat as you, so you kind of just gravitate towards them and you
That's
make
what
real
traveling does for us, doesn't it? As human beings, it opens us up to new opportunities. And also, you are like me in the sense of you're single. So when you're single, you don't have that company. You can't kind of close those ranks, so to speak, because that's what couples do and friendship groups do, because there's no need for any additional company. When you're open, I like to have such fabulous experiences when I go off on my own, which is quite often, but with bus drivers and random people, because there's a need for other human beings and that human interaction.
Yeah.
And the experience is very, very different when we interact with others as well. So I think don't have any more questions at this moment in time for you. Probably the minute that we finish, I'll have 20 more, which is how it goes. So I think I'm going to ask you if people want to get hold of you for the side hustle, because you haven't spoken about that very much. I don't know if you want to. If people want to get hold of you and get in contact with you, is there a way that they can find you, or do you want them?
Well, side hustle is two things. It's private English classes, like all of us do. And then the other thing is something that I'm actually winding down, which
Okay.
I didn't talk about it much, but it was basically working as a virtual assistant, helping online entrepreneurs. So, like, I do a whole bunch of different things. I manage one person's Facebook community group. I, if she has, she's a coach as well. So when she does her coaching calls, I have to get the videos uploaded into the learning platform, email marketing, updating websites, a whole bunch of different things for a whole bunch of different people. But I'm winding that down because I'm not loving it.
Okay, good. It's not for you. You tried it. It's not for you. Yep.
I'm the kind of person, and I'm not afraid to say this, entrepreneurship is not for me. I want to go somewhere, clock in, do what I need to do, clock out,
And see tomorrow.
and get paid my money every month. As an entrepreneur, you have to go out and hunt for your own food. This month you might get this much money. This month you might get this much money. And if a client doesn't have business coming in, which is what's happened recently, two of them haven't had much work for me to do. My rent still needs to get paid. Yeah. So it's not for me. And I'm okay with saying a 9 to 5 is what works for me. Let me clock in.
Maybe it's that particular model. Maybe, for example, one of my siblings said to me, I don't like it. It's too stressful. Like you said, you don't know what's going to happen. There are so many variables. It's a lot of stress. I enjoy that side, but I haven't been very successful at it. But I do enjoy that side of life. It's not for everybody. But it's also sometimes the things that we do might not be the right fit at the right time. It's a combination of things.
Biggest problem for me is I don't like the whole customer acquisition side of things because I'm the one that needs to go out and find clients.
You gotta get it, girl. You gotta go out and get
Because see the whole showing up on social media and networking. Nope.
it.
Nope. So I'd much rather do a 9 to 5, and I know that every month at the same time I'm getting the same amount of money and I can sort my life out as opposed to I'm getting this much money from school. the first 5 days of the week, for 5 days of the month. Okay, that will cover the rent and it will cover these bills. And then I've
Only for
got
9 months, only for 9 months, and then
I've got private classes. Okay, that will cover this. And then
maybe.
I think I'll get some more money. No. So I'm winding that down. And I'm hopefully going to be able to try and find a proper job.
I just want to put it out there. What areas would you like to work in the UK if like somebody could give you the hookup? What areas? Let's do it. Let's put it out there in the universe.
Oh no, and if sugar daddy's hiring older men, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. I can't do the sugar baby thing. Finance.
Finance is an area. Okay. Do you know specifically what part of finance kind of, any ideas?
Foreign exchange, because I did that for a while and I really enjoyed that. Investments, anything with FX or investments, I'm quite, or banking, anything in that sort of arena. I am also, however, contemplating doing a tech boot camp if I can somehow conjure up the money from somewhere.
What, sorry, why am I not understanding what you just said? Say that again.
Tech, TECH.
Boot camp. What would that kind of enable you to do?
Get a job working in the tech industry because they apparently pay really well. And these days, I'm less about what I enjoy and more about giving me that money. So I'm afraid to say it. If I could redo my life, I would start chasing the bag from the get-go. I wasn't doing that. I was not securing the bag.
Need to watch last week's podcast. You need to watch last week's podcast.
Watch it. But yeah, because I spent my whole life thinking, I don't like this. I want to do this because I like this. And about what you like. It's about what's going to give you the cash monies, for me anyway.
I think for me, it's about a combination of both, but making better decisions.
Yes.
When you've got the money, so for example, I lived in Dubai as a teacher, rent-free, tax-free. Saved money, walked away with money in my pocket, lots of traveling and all the rest of it. And then I didn't make a good decision after that because we make the bag, but then if we don't have the lessons learned from the
Right.
experiences, the guidance and the support, you make the bag today, you spend it tomorrow and you drop off a cliff and then you have to climb up the cliff again. And that's the circle that I'm trying to get off of because it's fine making it, it's good. We've got to know what we're going to do with it, and we've got to have a strong plan or and support in place. And so, you've got probably a bit more support than I have. My parents are deceased. I'm not, so now I'm at the bottom of the cliff again.
Hello, girl. I'm
So,
right there with you. But
maybe.
really, though, I think if someone was to offer me a job right now, my preference would be finance.
Okay.
However, I'm going to try and put things in place to maybe do a tech boot camp because I find that trying to change careers is almost impossible. Because even if you've studied for something, everybody wants you to have experience in that thing. You can't get the experience if they won't give you the damn job. Because I've tried to change careers before. So, apparently, with getting into tech, a lot of people are getting hired for well-paid tech jobs coming out of a boot camp. So, I'm gonna maybe put that on my list for 2023.
Have a look at apprenticeships as well in the UK. A couple of years ago, I don't know what the situation is now, but a couple of years ago, the government was pushing for older people, mature people, to do apprenticeships because they open up doors and you don't get in the debt, which is one part trying to pay for the studying and you get the real life experience and then you get your foot in the door somewhere. So maybe have a look at that, before you go back to the UK, see if you can line up an apprenticeship somewhere.
Because if I go back, I need to walk into a job. I can't go back and start looking for a job. I need to walk straight into one. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm at the bottom of the cliff with you. You got company.
No. My brother was saying this to me the other day. I said, no, we're all in the sea, maybe. Some people have got yachts, some people got dinghies, some people got a life jacket, some people haven't got a life jacket, some people, we're all in the sea, maybe, but we're not all in the same place in the
Yeah,
sea.
that
So,
part. That part. For sure.
so anything that you want from me, like reach out to me, let me know anything that I can do to help you, please reach out, let me know. Wish you all the best with your decision of, where you're going to next and what's going to happen next. And I say thank you so much for your time and your energy today. Again, I find that I've got so many things in common with you. size woman. Food is kind of whack, very fresh, but kind of whack. And so many other things, teacher, English, language, age, living on my own. The list goes on and on and on. And one day somebody did talk about having a great experience in Spain last week's podcast. This is a different podcast. And I look forward to other people being able to share their stories, but I really say thank you for being so open and so honest about your experience here in Spain as a Black English speaking expat. So thank you very much, Georgie, for your time and your energy. Thank you. Okay, Georgie. I'm gonna stop recording.